Welcome to the Courage to Be the Difference podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Ruskus, and every week we're bringing you a little cup of courage to help you through your day. And today I am super excited about this show as we're going to talk about passion play is what we've entitled it, and how to do what you love for the work that you do. And our guest today is Linda Vodder, who I have come to love on Instagram. We were just talking about it. Linda is a garden stylist, a writer, a designer, and a media personality that's based in Oklahoma City. And she is just an amazing woman to watch from afar, and I'm sure close up. One of these days I'll get to Oklahoma City, Linda.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, welcome. Welcome to the show today.
I'm glad to be here.
So let's just start from the beginning. And when did your passion for gardening, which has become the basis for your business, when did it start?
Well, I think if you look back to your childhood, you will, if you excavate, you can always see little tiny seeds of interest. And I just always loved plants growing up. I can't say that I was ever like gardening at my grandmother's knee or anything like that, but I always liked plants. And my family, I'm one of 10 children, by the way. So my family moved around a lot when we were young. And there was always that, no matter what geography we lived in, there was always that different kind of plant environment that just always kind of excited me. And it continued into my teenage years. I think I was probably the only college student that ever selected a dorm room based on the exposure for her plants. And then fast forward, I had plants, when I was younger, and then about 30 years ago, I finally got married and started a family. I got married late. We renovated a 1935 house. And the job that I had, I actually have an MBA and was working, traveling around the country. And that kind of came to a halt when I had kids. So I kind of learned how to start a garden and raise a garden and raise kids and be a wife all at the same time.
Fantastic. And when did the shift start to happen that it just became what you do?
What I do. Well, I think I love the expression, just do the work. And I think I just wanted to learn about gardening. And so as soon as we moved into this house, I finally had the time to kind of pursue that passion. So I read voraciously. We had done quite a bit of traveling. So I started documenting lots of different gardens. I have an English Tudor style house. So I wanted an English Tudor style garden. And so that kind of helped me focus, I think, the direction that I wanted to go in. And then there's just no substitute for trial and error, especially if you garden in a very difficult environment like here in Oklahoma. So I just started. And I had some guidance from a landscape designer initially to kind of help me with some bed lines. But then over time, the garden just evolved as I learned more, I did more. I tried to never take on more than I could handle. And it was just basically a learning curve and one that I was happy to be on because I finally had the chance to and the time to really pursue something that had always interested me. So I just got more and more into it as the years passed. And ultimately, the more I did, the more traffic came by my house, the more people asked me to help them. So I started out doing that, just helping people with their garden design. So
that was the first step in actually monetizing it.
Yeah, and monetizing is people just asked me to start helping them. And then I also volunteered a lot. So people would ask me to design gardens for this auction, school auction, or for that. And so I started doing that, specializing in just small garden spaces. And then because my garden started being on garden tours, I was asked to be on garden tours. It got a lot more exposure. Then probably I would say a tipping point came in 2006. When some people from Southern Living came out, a friend of mine suggested they come and take a look at my garden. And that was and is a continuing relationship with Southern Living magazine. So over the years, I've lost count of how many times they've come out to photograph my garden. And then other magazines and other places have come out to take you know, lots of photo shoots and video and things like that. So that really got me on, I think, a national level in terms of kind of notoriety. I do a local TV spot every week on gardening here on our NBC affiliate. And then since I worked with magazines, just basically my garden being in the magazine, some of those magazines asked me if I would start writing for them. So I did that. And then one thing, it was just kind of a snowballing effect. One thing led to another. And I started doing Instagram. And I would say that really kind of was an explosion of interest because I started doing short video tutorials. I really want to be of service, and that's part of my mission is to help people who are trying to learn, who are trying to just develop their skills and just kind of convey how I did it and how I did it without lots of knowledge, lots of resources, and in the beginning, no talent whatsoever. So I basically just tried to help people start a garden from scratch or fine tune what they already have.
Linda, and one of the things I have to say and why I have become such a devoted follower of yours on Instagram.
Are you a stalker?
I am a stalker. Yes. Is how giving you are. Like, I have started following a lot of other people too, just because of your suggestion to follow them. And it's just, you are so giving, and with your ideas, your methodologies that work for you, your recent sharing about topiaries, which I said to my husband, should I start doing this? He was like, absolutely not. You will get obsessed with it and don't do it.
Well, I think, you know, you get back what you put out.
Absolutely.
And I had some people early on who kind of helped me. And I have since learned that there are so many ways to do things so much more easily and that can be so much less resource intensive in terms of watering, in terms of time, in terms of labor. And as I've learned over the years to work smart and not necessarily so hard, those are things that I want to convey to other people. And I really have, one of the things I am most proud of is that before I started working with some of these magazines, with Garden Gate magazine, I just did a shoot with Victoria magazine, and with Southern Living, before they came out to start shooting my garden, they had barely even been to Oklahoma.
Wow.
Two of those magazines had never been to Oklahoma. So I kind of have it as a mission to show the beauty of what Oklahoma has to offer, but also that there's not any one language of beauty. There are so many different languages of beauty, no matter where you live. And it's just your job as a good steward to the landscape and to the garden to kind of find out what that is. And so I want to beautify Oklahoma. So it's really selfish. The more I can teach people to help beautify their spaces, the more it gives back to me. And I get, I can't tell you the kind of notes I get from people on my door, in my mailbox, when people stop by on Instagram, how appreciative they are, or they're going through a hard time and that really, you know, made their day, or they're trying something new. They're growing some new neural pathways, you know, late in life. They're just trying something new. And one of my favorite expressions is there's nothing that can awaken your inner kindergartner like gardening, because everything is just such a surprise and a joy, and it never loses its freshness. I mean, every year I'm constantly amazed by the same things.
Right, that it bloomed again, right? Or that it...
that it bloomed again, or that the seed germinated, or that something I thought was dead came back. Or that, yes, we had you and I were talking about hailstorms. Mm-hmm. That you can have a horrific weather event, and the garden can come back from that, and we can heal from it, and the garden can give you succor, and it can give you comfort. Probably the best example one of the best examples I can get is after the Oklahoma City bombing years ago. It was such a horrific event for those of us in Oklahoma City. And so many of us went to our gardens because it happened in the springtime. And we went to give into our gardens to find comfort and redemption and just that the healing things that a garden can provide. It's just the garden is so giving and so unselfish. So it's the least I can do is to be unselfish as a gardener.
Absolutely. I mean, I always think of it as my thinking space, right? Even though I'm working hard, necessarily I'm not just sitting there thinking, I'm thinking as I'm working,
right.
It's like a cleansing. I love this time of year because I can do my meditation out in the garden.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's very mindful. And if you're out there, even if it's something like tackling terrible weeds or cleaning up after a storm, you're very mindful in the moment and you really kind of get in the zone of doing what you are doing, and some of your worries and some of your heartache and some of your complaints kind of take the backstage to what it is you're doing there in the moment, because it's such a tactile, high touch activity.
Absolutely. And I even find that I, if you're in a place that you aren't able to accomplish something in the moment, right, that you're trying to do something, you know, on your work or whatever, and it's not happening, but you go out to the garden and you can make it happen, right? Like you say, cleaning out weeds or whatever, all of a sudden before your very eyes, you've just accomplished something. And it's
immediate gratification. And you know, and practically everyone on Instagram knows, but I'm a fiend for topiary. I'm topiary obsessed.
Topiary queen, yes.
Yes. And one of the reasons that I grow topiary is, first of all, I just find the architecture of them and the clean lines of them so compelling, but also because just caring for them is such a meditative thing. You know, I can be really stressed out and then I go out and I just kind of take my little snips and I snip it into that perfect round form again, and I find it very calming, very satisfying. Again, it's that immediate gratification, and it gives me, in a world in which we have absolutely no control, it gives me a sense of control. I can't control the rest of the world, but I can control this little round sphere on a stick. And even if it's an illusion in the moment, it gives me an illusion of control, and that in and of itself is calming and makes me feel better. And isn't that what it's all about?
Absolutely.
It's just making ourselves and others feel better.
Finding that joy to
yeah.
be seen. What, I wouldn't be doing this conversation justice if I didn't talk about challenges that you've met along the way, and or things that you've had to say no to because you just felt that it was getting out of control in some way. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, here in Oklahoma, I would say some of the biggest challenges are just weather related. So if my garden is my canvas and it's the basis upon which I have a business, then if the garden looks like hell, I mean, it really makes it very difficult. So over the years, I've had to learn some coping strategies on how to keep it looking good, even when the temperatures exceed 100 or 110 for days on end. And so I've had to do that. So I would say probably the biggest challenges have been gardening. The other thing is when you're dealing with a garden, it's kind of like dealing with children's or a pet. You just never know what's going to happen. And so I think it's that constantly trying to live your life with uncertainty, and certain the garden is kind of an uncertain place. The other thing I think is trying to elevate the forum of gardening to where you can capture other people's attention. Mm-hmm. And I think it's becoming gardening kind of comes in style and out of style. Right now, I think it's starting to trend towards a little bit younger demographic. Mm-hmm. But if you go to lots of established meetings or garden clubs or horticultural society meetings, you'll see that definitely those that attend are on the older side. So I think another challenge is making it exciting and relevant and pertinent to younger generations. And they've kind of come to it through the whole farm-to-table phenomenon and succulents and things like that. So I always say that everybody has their different gateway drug into gardening. And for me, it was houseplants. For other people, it's, you know, growing succulents or just growing an herb garden on your windowsill. But there's always a hook that kind of gets you involved. So I would say those are some of the biggest challenges. Now that I do so much more, and how my garden is related to social media and the exponential growth of social media and the exponential change that you and I and all of us who are, you know, media personalities have to deal with is that changes. The format, the forums, the platforms change so rapidly, it's hard to keep up with them. So I would say my most recent dilemma and my most recent challenge is just trying to figure out which monster to feed every day.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. Is it the garden? Is it YouTube? Is it Instagram? Is it doing online workshops? Is it writing a book? Is it trying to get a new TV show? And these are all different things that I'm kind of working with right now, which is the best use of my time and how you keep all of those balls in the air at the same time while simultaneously being true to your original passion, which was gardening.
Right.
So I don't want to do so much talking about gardening and filming about gardening and writing about gardening that it keeps me from what feeds my soul, which is gardening itself. So I think it's that constantly trying to tend that balance.
And what would you say is some of the tips that you could give our audience as to what keep, because it's, you know, I do a lot of marketing workshops in my work, and consistency is always the hardest thing that people, like, I just don't have time. I, you know, I've got a business to run. I don't have time to do all these things, but it's so important. How do you keep it in the forefront?
Well, I think, first of all, to the extent I can make something formulaic, it is helpful to me. So when I got on Instagram and I started trying to pay attention to both my own schedule, to the garden, and to my audience's schedule, that helped me develop a formula. So now typically I post first thing in the morning and at night, and that works pretty well for me. I can hit different target audiences that are international and that are domestic. It fits into my schedule pretty well because I'm a very early riser, so I can do it before it gets a little bit too chaotic. So that's helped me with consistency. I think sometimes one observation that I could make for those who are on social media and they're wanting to grow their accounts, if they find something in their content that really resonates with people, then exploit that content. Because yes, there may be a handful of people that say, oh, I've seen her garden, you know, that perspective of her garden 1,000 times, but lots of people haven't. And lots of people want to see it 1,000 times because that's how they deconstruct and dissect what is in each one of the images so they can replicate it themselves. Mm. So then I find that, oh, somebody will say, I watched that video 50 times so that I could capture one thing that I was looking at. Okay, well then that tells me that I need to do a still of that one thing so someone else can deconstruct it and see how I did it. And it can demystify why it looks the way it looks. And so I try to really look at it in that way, that I will deconstruct for you what it is about this vignette or this landscape or this section of my garden that makes it so visually appealing to you and so compelling to you and maybe so emotionally evocative to you. And so that's what I try to do. And so I will give it to you, and I will give it to you for free. And yes, there are going to be a handful of detractors that say, oh, I don't want to see that again. But I'm not talking to you anyway. I'm talking to those people who are trying to learn and who want to figure it out. And so that's...
Oh, and you do such a beautiful job of engaging as well, right? It's not that you're just posting stuff and walking away. You engage and you talk
back. I answer every single comment, unless it's by accident that I missed it. Yeah. I will respond to every single comment, because if they take the time to interact with me and validate me, I want to take the time to validate and reinforce their endeavors. Plus, it's not a one-way street. I get as much back as I give, and it sustains me, and it makes me want to put out more content and learn more about this process that we're all basically learning together. And I just know how valuable it is for somebody to kind of, even if it's virtually, for someone to hold your hand, and also somebody who will say, it's okay to kill something. It happens all of the time. Don't take it personally. Here's what I killed today. As I get older, I have finally learned if I am not failing at something today, if I am not doing something really badly today, then I'm not trying hard enough. So it's a constant learning curve. We're never going to reach perfection. We're never going to get it right. But if we can, in that moment,
I would just say, in the moment, if we could just get it perfect in the moment,
and achieve gardening nirvana, then it makes it worth it. And that's when you take all those pictures, because all of those pictures will help you make it through a really bad weather event or a very, very harsh winter. And thank you, guys.
Two things. One is that when we had that hailstorm, I found it made me grow because I ended up planting things I've never, you know, I told my husband, I'm going to go out and just spend $50 and to replace some stuff. And he's like, right. So it's a little bit more than $50, but it really stretched me to do herbs I hadn't done before, some things that I just hadn't done before. So that was a really cool part of it, of learning, right?
And I think, you know, I read recently, because there's such a political divide in our country right now, and there are certain things that are very communal, and gardening is one of them. But I was reading this article, and it said, you know, you never really learn anything from somebody who completely agrees with you, or you never really learn from when everything goes well. We learn from when we make mistakes, and we learn from people who think differently from us. Yes. And we learn from challenges. That's how we learn, and we get, what's the title of that book? We get stronger at the broken places. Mm. And so that's how we learn. And sometimes it comes back better than before. And if not, we've learned something. But I will say this as a word of comfort to everybody who is in a challenging gardening situation this year, which seems to be worldwide. Mm. And that is, when you have a challenge, you learn not only what will work better, but that is much easier to care for. Mm. And so that reduces the workload for you in the future as you age, or as you want to spend more time with young children or things like that. So one thing that I have learned very recently is, as much as I love perennials, you know, people say, oh, perennials come back every year, so they're not a lot of work like annuals are. That is not true. Perennials are a lot of work. They're very demanding. But one thing that also blooms that is a lot less work than perennials are blooming shrubs. And I really now am into blooming shrubs that have more four seasons of interest, that aren't nearly so labor intensive, that can handle things like hailstorms so much more easily, and that can recover quickly. So those are all things that you learn along the way. And as I learn them, I want to share them with others. And as they learn things, they can share them with me. So it's very much a give and take. You know, gardening is very much a communal thing. And I've met so many lovely people on Instagram all around the world that I really feel close to.
Right.
So it's a marvelous thing.
Fantastic. Well, as we wrap up our conversation, which I have loved so much, any last words, parting words for our audience that you'd like to share?
Yes, and it's what I always tell people that are starting a new garden, or people that are whose garden has gotten out of hand after they've been on vacation or something like that. Anything you're trying, whether it's in business, whether it's starting a new garden or tending a garden, is try not to be overwhelmed. And so I tell myself constantly throughout the day, just do the next thing. Eat that elephant one bite at a time.
One bed at a time, right?
One bed at a time, one weed at a time. And eventually it grows, and you'll be motivated to go on. It can be so overwhelming to see, you know, the forest and even the tree. But sometimes if you just look at an individual leaf and you really just get it down to its most basic elemental molecular form, it can make it seem manageable and not so overwhelming.
Tell me about, this just hit me, what your Instagram name is?
Potager Blog.
Okay.
Okay, and why is that?
Yes.
Okay, because I probably need to change it to livedevotter.com, but now so many people know me as Potage Blog that I'm hesitant to change. I have a potage. It's the first thing that kind of got me on the radar of magazines and things, and a potage is an ornamental vegetable garden, kitchen garden. It's okay. A French term that literally translates, potage is the French word for soup. So it literally translates into a soup garden. But when I was traveling in England, I saw some absolutely fabulous potagers. And I thought, I want to make one of those. And so I came home and I started one. It's the boxwood hedged kitchen garden that you see. Mm-hmm. It's one of my gardens. And it's called a potager. And basically how I think of it, it's organized chaos. So there's all these flamboyant things that grow within those very defined spaces that are circumscribed by boxwood edging. And so to me, it's kind of organized chaos. And years ago, I started a blog and I named it Potager. And so that it just kind of got to be a handle. And nobody really knows how to pronounce it. It's difficult to pronounce. And it's maybe I probably need to change it to Linda Vauder. But if you're looking for me on Instagram or you're looking for me anywhere, if you just Google Linda Vauder, lots of stuff will come up and you can easily get on Instagram or my YouTube channel or TV.
That's V-A-T-E-R, correct?
V-A-T-E-R, yes. It's German for father. So V-A-T-E-R, Linda Vauder, and you can find me a lot of different places, but if you just Google that, Instagram is where you'll get the most eye candy, and between that and YouTube, and the most takeaways that are for you personally, my gift to you.
You are awesome. Linda, thank you so much for all that you do.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm so honored that you wanted me to come.
I am honored to have you. Thank you.